Hey everybody, ROI here. Hey, before we dive into this episode, I wanted to let you know we got our time slot for CapCon. So if you are attending CapCon 2024, we have our live Love and Brief episode recording taking place at CapCon on Saturday, that is March the 2nd. From 9:30 to 11 a.m. in the main stage room. And CapCon has always been so gracious. They host us in the big room. We have our panel of guests, and we take live questions from you, our audience. So come join us, join the fun, bring your questions, come right up to that mic and ask away. We will bring our best advice, and in lieu of our best advice, we will bring you some terrible advice. But either way, even if you don't have a question, show up and join the fun. Join the audience for a live Love and Brief podcast recording. That's going to be at CapCon 2024, Saturday morning at 9:30 on the main stage. We'll see you there. All right, now to the episode. Welcome to Love in Brief, a brief ABDL advice podcast focused on issues of love. What kind of love, Teddy?
Love for self, love for community, absolutely.
For sure, yep.
You'll love this one, love for cats.
Love for cats, really? I don't know if I got time for that on this show. I do have love for rope that we're going to talk about a bunch. That's something.
Absolutely.
Love for dynamic, love for BDSM-y shit. We've got all kinds of love. Today's episode, if you haven't guessed, stars my co-host, Teddy Bear. Teddy Bear, thanks for coming back on Love and Brief.
Absolutely. Happy to be here.
And this one was one that Teddy Bear said, boy, we have got to talk to these folks because this is a topic that somehow, and this happens to me doing Love and Brief, but somehow I'm astonished we have not yet covered. And yes. I don't know how we haven't. Teddy, how did we make it this far?
110 episodes in. This is and the first time we're talking about rope.
That's crazy to me. Rope and suspension and all that good stuff. So we're going to dig into it today with a couple folks who have actually been teachers to us and to lots of other folks in the community. Teddy, do you want to introduce our guests?
Yeah, so just some background. I mean, at Summer Cap about a year and a half ago, you and I both were actually in the same room with our guests today. And they led this fantastic Ropes 101 class. I kind of learned my first little tidbits about it. And I've kind of gone on a little bit of a journey since then. And I actually met up with them again last summer for a specific event that combined age play and rope. And it was just so inspiring. I've been having a lot of fun with it myself. And I just thought it would be great to share the love with the rest of the community. So I wanted to welcome our guests today, Panda and Bunny. So maybe start with Panda. Tell us about your love.
Hey, thanks so much for having me on the show, guys. So I have a lot of love for the community, the kink community, my local community here. Lately, I've been having a lot of love for deep friendships and putting effort into relationships and all that good stuff that comes with bonding with our fellow community members.
That's because all that stuff is awesome. And I love that you're investing so much in that.
And Bunny, how about you? Tell us about your love.
Yeah, so I feel like I have so much love in my life right now, just in general. I am actually pregnant and expecting pretty much any day now. So I have a lot of love for our baby and for Panda. And just like, I'm really excited to watch him become a dad. I also currently have a lot of love for Oreos, which has been my primary craving throughout my pregnancy. So yeah.
They are a sponsor. They are a sponsor of today's episode. So thank you for plugging that.
Yeah, officially, unofficially. Congratulations. And we were talking before we started, but when you say any day now, you're not kidding. I mean, it's literally any day now. So if it happens during the podcast, you're more than excused.
I don't think that will happen. I'm about 37 weeks, so I still have some time.
Okay.
But it could theoretically happen at any point.
Wow. Thank you for taking time for being here on the podcast. Wow.
Yeah.
And thank you for having me.
And for digging into this, I mean, you all have demonstrated rope, you've taught rope, but we haven't really talked it. And so I want to start with, I think, a little understanding of your dynamic and the roles that you tend to play together, because that'll give us some context for talking about how rope can be used in things like play. How would you all describe your dynamic together when it comes to play?
I'll go first, and then I'll defer over to Bunny. our roles are pretty switchy and changing and evolving. I am a daddy slash caregiver, I think, first and foremost, who tends to lean a little bit more into the DL side. And I discovered those roles a little prior to Rope and the rest of the community, but all those other good things have certainly come down the line. How about you, Bunny?
Yeah, so I would say that I'm primarily a bottom-leaning person. I find a lot of comfort in being a little and bottoming for Rope as well. And I guess, like, in terms of switching, I think, like, being a top has never been, like, my primary thing. Like, it's not what kind of gets me going. But I do it for Panda, and just, like, watching him and seeing him to be fulfilled and feel loved by that is really what is fulfilling for me.
Oh. That's one of those things that shows up a lot in kink, which is partners who find or discover or uncover something in their partner that totally lights them up, and they just fall in love with doing that thing. And I just love that, because it's such a magnificent expression of love for another person, that you experience this joy just watching them light up. That's so cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you came with the name here, Bunny. That's a word I've heard associated with Rope before. What's a bunny in Rope terms?
I guess, I know, it's like Rope Bottom, Rope Bunny, someone who likes being tied up and, I don't know, just gets a lot of enjoyment from that.
Okay. I've just heard people say I'm a Rope Bunny, and I'm like, I'm not sure what that means, but it sounds adorable.
And Panda, how would you describe yourself? Like, what is your role within Rope? Is there a term for what you do?
I would probably identify more as a rigger, since I do that more often. But again, I'm, you know, very switchy. I am not sure where the bunny term came from, because it is sort of a one-off. There's not really any great reason that I know of for it existing. I personally don't love the term bunny. I tend to call in people that I tie bottoms rather than bunnies, but that term does seem to stick.
I've wondered about that for so long. Thanks for answering the question, where did it come from? The answer is,
I don't know.
It might not even be a great term, but thank you for
that. We'll have to unravel some of the mysteries here, right?
Unravel. Oh, that's good, though. That's good. Let's follow that thread.
That's good.
I know. I would love to get kind of the basics. When we say rope or when we say suspension, what are we talking about? What is this?
So there's a lot of terms floating out there, but bondage in general, I feel like, is a pretty good catch-all term. There's also restraints, there's just rope, there's all sorts of flavors of bondage. As per your question, I'm not sure if you had specific terms that you were after. I know shibari is a big one that comes up all the time, which is sort of the, you know, originating from Japanese culture term. Way back in the day, it was actually a method that they used to restrain captives. They had hojo jutsu, which is this behind the back, arms tied sort of situation. And then from that, a different term that gets thrown around a lot nowadays, which is kimbaku came. And kimbaku, it translates to just being tied tightly or tight binding. But that's the one you most often see associated with bondage in a kink sense, is that kinbaku word. Is that the answer you were looking for?
Yeah. I mean, no, that's great. You've introduced some of the terms I've been wondering about. So shibari is the term that I've heard most associated, but you're introducing a new one, kinbaku, that I hadn't heard. And you said that's that sort of tight tying that you tend to see a lot in this space.
So shibari is very, very generalized. If there's lots of languages out there, but from my understanding, I'm certainly no expert. My understanding, shibari could be something as simple as tying your shoes. In other languages where shibari originated from, the Japanese kind of culture, So we try to get more specific with that kimbaku for pleasure or aesthetic tying.
So if you tie your little shoes in the morning, you are practicing shibari before work, but not necessarily kimbaku. Good to know.
To my understanding, yes.
And then this other word you brought up was bondage. And it's helpful to me as I'm thinking of sort of the Venn diagram here to hear that, like, okay, bondage takes lots of forms. Rope is one of them. And then within rope, there are all these different disciplines and things that you might try.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Tell me about the attraction to rope. What got you into it? And for both of you, what does it do for you?
That's a great question. For me, it was really just the aesthetics. I really liked how it looked, the symmetry of it. I went to a bondage class early in my kink journey and saw someone who was very good at what they did, you know, with rigging and tying another person. And it just kind of looked like, you know, poetry in motion, sort of the way that they could handle the other person and move them around. And a lot of intention, a lot of love and time and effort put into that person. That's what drew me in.
Yeah. And I'd say for me, since thank you for asking my own experience. Yeah. So my first exposure was you, like at that summer cap class. And, you know, I think it was an initial exposure. It was like, wow, this is a really cool other way to connect with someone. And then I kind of followed away in my head for a while. And then, about a year ago, I started going to a local BDSM dungeon. And pretty quick into that, they had an education day. And one of those was a Rope 101 class. And went through that, you know, learned a single column non-collapsing tie, which that's, you know, we can get into that later, I guess. But the other class that I saw, though, was this thing called Connections in Rope. And it was really cool to watch these two partners, the rigger and the bottom, perform this almost elaborate dance with each other. It was honestly beautiful. And the only thing that they did, though, was a single tie around the wrist. And just from that one tie, they did this beautiful choreography where, you know, the rigger was pulling the bottom around, making them do stuff that they wanted. And I could just sense the love and connection. And ever since I saw that, I'm like, wow, this is such a cool thing to share with someone. You know, it's like, you know, I've been to age play forever, but here's a cool new aspect of kink that I'm just learning about that can, you know, enhance what I'm already into. So I think for me, that's the answer.
I can hear the beauty in that. I can hear the art in that and the connection
yes.
in that. That makes a lot of sense to me. And
yeah, the artistry is just, when I see pictures of it, I'm like, that is so cool.
I'd love to know from a rope bottom's perspective, Bunny, what's it like to be in that space with Panda or with somebody else who's doing the rigging? What's it like to be on the receiving end?
Yeah, so Panda has been my primary rope top pretty much since I discovered rope. I mean, he's the one who introduced me to rope and shibari in the first place. So for me, I've always kind of struggled with anxiety, and being in rope is a really great way to relieve that. I really like the feeling of rope like tightly around me. It's very grounding. And when it's like specifically around my chest and kind of like restricting my breathing, which maybe sounds crazy, but it forces me to focus on my breathing. And then all of the other like anxiety thoughts sort of drift away. So it's just like a very grounding, comforting experience. And when you're doing it with somebody that you love, it's just so much, I don't know. It's so, I don't know how to describe it. It's just great.
I've heard people say similar things about like a weighted blanket, just that idea of being constrained, being limited to a certain space, being, it's almost a swaddling sort of feeling I've heard people describe with a weighted blanket. Is it similar in the anxiety sort of benefits?
Yeah, absolutely. I would say that it's very similar to, I guess, a weighted blanket or just like a really tight hug or a swaddle or whatever, if you want to kind of put it in like baby age play language.
Well, we were going to get there eventually.
Yeah.
After all.
Yeah.
And the connection with your partner, I would love for both of you to talk about, what does it feel like to connect with another person when you are tying or when you are being tied? What is that dynamic like?
Yeah, it's just so... So I guess Panda can talk a little bit more about how he has experienced this too as well. But I really appreciate feeling like this person has to pay attention to me. Like, there's nothing else getting in the way. Like, for safety reasons, he needs to be paying attention to where he's putting the rope on my body and making sure that I'm secure and making sure that everything is safe. And that just really makes me feel cared for and secure and loved. And it's a very intimate process as well.
It's wild to hear words that I have used to describe ABDL interactions, as you describe rope, things that are intimate and require somebody's full attention and that they're deeply paying attention to you and taking care of you or you're taking care of them. It's neat to hear that reflected in your experience with rope.
Yeah, there's a lot of trust
in
it.
Yeah, certainly. And I kind of zeroed in on something you said there about the safety aspects of it. I've heard this, you know, the rope in general being called edge play before. So one of you maybe talk about the safety aspects, you know, what to watch out for, the more medical considerations, I guess, of rope.
Sure, we can jump into that. And I mean, even before the safety aspect, I mean, we could talk about like consent or, you know, getting, you know, the expressed permission to do the aspects of rope that, you know, sort of starts scene and point right there, and then you can kind of like build on that and talk to your bottom about safety, which I mean, and bringing it full circle back to, you know, what I like about rope and rigging is just that opportunity to connect in such a special and unique way. When it comes to consent, there's lots of questions that we kind of go over. And I could talk at length about them, or I can send over some files. I don't know if you can upload files alongside a podcast, but the quick version of what I like to go through would be, you know, asking, do they have any rope experience? Is there any musculoskeletal injuries that they have going on? You know, you ask, you know, do I have permission to touch all around your body as I guide this rope on? Talk about how that's going to go, how that's going to feel, what types of touching are allowed. You know, I'm going to be putting rope here. Is it okay or not okay if I grab or squeeze here or there? Negotiating what you want that touch to feel like. Should it be clinical and just, you know, emotionless, or should it be hard and filled with, you know, passion? You know, however you want that to be. You also, I tend to talk about, you know, is there going to be other things included in the scene as we do rope, or, you know, is it okay to do impact or hitting, or are we going to talk about diapers and, you know, power exchange while we're tying, discussing what communication should look like during the scene, you know, or are we going to keep this talking up throughout the scene, or are we going to just be quiet and focus on the feelings? Talk about aftercare, and definitely making someone aware of what sort of risk is involved, the dangers of rope, maybe getting marks, numbness, nerve damage, all those sorts of things. That is my hot list of consent stuff before we get to the safety of rope.
That's so good.
That's so good. Yep. And I think being forward with those kind of conversations is a great idea for any type of kink play, but especially rope, from what I've heard. You know, again, the whole concept of edge play, this can get dangerous pretty fast. So wonderful summary there. I think folks can get a lot of benefit from being upfront and having those conversations. So once you are into a scene as a rigger, what are you looking for? And maybe Bunny too, as a bottom, what are you... You know, now that you've had experience with this over time, like, what are the things that you've learned to look out for and sense in your own body?
I think what I'm looking for overall is to help the other person to have a good time. I'm largely a centralist when it comes to kink, and it makes me feel the most pleasure, the most happiness if my bottom, the person I'm interacting with, comes away from the experience feeling like they gained a really good time, really good feelings, better connection with me. That's what I look for. I don't know, Bunny, what do you look for?
I guess I just also want to be having a good time, feeling safe, feeling comfortable, feeling like I'm kind of flying or floating. That's kind of my goal when I go up there. I don't know, like, and I mean, I guess we'll talk about in terms of safety, like things to look out for after Panda gives his spiel about all the different medical safety things.
Sure. Yeah. Why don't we go ahead and dive into that?
Oh, I guess the big takeaways would just be, you know, tying within your skill level, probably. I know a lot of people try to dive into rope really quick.
So you're saying don't suspend on your first
try. Yeah, that's generally not recommended.
Okay.
Oh my gosh.
Good to know.
Yeah. I mean, really, like, you're not kidding, but I have seen and been at venues where folks have really, with all earnest and eagerness, dove in. And this isn't the kind of thing, it's not karaoke, right? You don't just kind of wing it and hope it works out. It's something to play with at your skill level with the right supervision until you get better at that one thing and then build on the next skill, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's, you know, super, you know, important to kind of work your way up the ladder, you know, crawl before you can walk, walk before you can run with rope. Absolutely. I guess the other, you know, biggest takeaways for the safety thing is just, you know, have shears available. So if you get yourself in a bind, you can have a safe way to escape or get the person, you know, out of rope if they stop being able to cooperate. Avoid, like, you know, metal under your rope and make sure you have a safe environment, or just kind of like some general safety things.
Yeah, I've noticed whenever I've seen rope done by people who know what they're doing, there's always a pair of shears nearby that you can just cut right through that rope. And if somebody's feeling some numbness or tingling and they can't address it or some pain, they'll just call it a day, cut through the rope, and all you lost was a rope instead of nerve damage.
Yeah, and that's one of the biggest things, you know, when people jump into it and they have their first class or their first real point of contact with rope, we always want to talk about that, like, you know, numbness, tingling, circulation thing. I don't know if it's worth going into now, but anyone who is seriously interested in either bottoming or topping for rope should definitely take the time to get well educated about what to look for and why things are happening.
And I think also, like, as a bottom, it's important to be aware of those things and being able to communicate them before it gets to the point where it's like, I need to be down right this second. Because even if somebody were to cut you out of rope, it would still take some time to get you on the ground and feeling safe. So having that awareness of at what point do I need to communicate this, having that body awareness of knowing what's going on in your body and at what point is it a concern versus, like, it's just uncomfortable, because a lot of rope is just uncomfortable. But a lot, like, there is a line where it goes from uncomfortable to dangerous.
Yeah, it's
awesome. Have either of you ever had a situation where you had to cut the rope? I mean, that sounds like a scary situation.
I have not personally experienced that, but I've been around it. My most recent experience was maybe like a year and a half ago. I was at a venue, and just someone was doing a really simple tie, standing up with their partner standing against a beam, just put some simple loops around the rope. And after a couple minutes, the person who was tied to the pole started to lose consciousness. And everyone started scrambling. They actually didn't have shears. Someone else in the public space had to bring shears over and quickly cut them out. And I guess their blood sugar just dropped. And thank goodness shears saved the day.
Wow. Yeah.
Wow.
That's why we keep them there. I mean, it's right. It's, as you said, you've never had to do it yourself. I'm sure it's not common, but it's just so helpful to know that that's one of those things you need to have there.
Yep.
You may never use them, but that's one of those things you need to have. We've talked about consent, which is so important. We've talked about safety, which is so important. What about the things that a person should look forward to when they first begin to learn rope? Things that they might even start with so that they can feel like, hey, I'm getting to enjoy this experience right off the bat.
It depends if you're asking about, like, where to start in your journey of learning to do rope, or what can a bottom look forward to doing inside of, you know, a scene or an age play and rope scene. If they're looking just to jump in, Teddy sort of already hit the nail on the head when he talked about a single column tie a little bit earlier. Basically, you just start with being able to put rope on someone that doesn't cinch down or cut off their circulation. It's called a single column tie, a single loop around maybe a wrist, maybe an ankle. That would be step one. And then you learn how to tie that to something. Once you can make the loop and tie it to something, you can basically get every ankle attached to the bottom of the bed and every hand attached to the top of the bed, and you're ready to start having fun.
That's great. So one type of tie, the single column, mm-hmm. at home, mm-hmm. with a bed or furniture or something nearby. And you can even practice on your ankle, on the ankle of the, or on the leg of the bed. Like,
absolutely.
You don't have to have a handful of people there to make it work.
No, absolutely. You're right.
Yeah. And then, as you said, if you've got a partner that you want to play with, you could start with just hands and feet on the corners of the bedpost.
Mm-hmm. Even though that might seem kind of like simple or, you know, not as fun as a suspension, that's really the rope that we do most often. Bunny switches and tops for rope pretty often, maybe once or twice a week. And that's the position I most often end up in, is just stuck to the bed.
That's so fun. I mean, there is something like really, really hot about that. That totally makes sense to me.
Yeah.
And when you bunny go into a rope scenario as a bottom, do you have any advice for somebody who maybe wants to bottom for the first time and they're not sure what to ask for or something to try? Maybe they don't yet have an idea. Do you have any suggestions?
Yeah. I guess that depends on the person, right? Like, some people really appreciate more soft and gentle kind of feelings, more like hugging kind of sensations. More comforting ties are usually where Panda starts. So something like maybe a hip harness or a arms and chest harness that just like feels like you're hugging yourself. And so that's kind of where I've noticed that he typically starts with people who have never done rope before. And then I guess obviously there are other people who are a little bit more edgy and want something more intense than that. And that's something that people can definitely work up to, but typically it's not something that, you know, you would do for the first time.
Yeah, that makes sense. Teddy, what did you, do you remember where you started and what you first enjoyed?
I think it was initially the attraction to the artistry of it. I saw some pictures online and I was like, this is incredible. I mean, it looks so elaborate. And then again, going to that one class that I went to where a single column around the wrist and they turn it into a dance. It was just like, this is actually accessible, you know? And when I first see it, it's very intimidating. But once you get into it and start learning a few basic ties, like Panda mentioned, a single column and then tying that to something, which he is an amazing instructor at those things, you're kind of just hit the ground running. So, you know, I think you can create some really beautiful art in relatively little time, as long as you just keep practicing those single columns.
I saw something you made yesterday, Teddy, that I thought was pretty impressive. you were out at a rope event playing with Lola and made this beautiful harness that I thought was just, I mean, in the short time that you've been doing it, you made something so neat.
Thank you.
So it's really encouraging for me. I should say to our fair listeners and guests that Teddy and I are on opposite ends of the spectrum when it comes to our spatial awareness. So Teddy is remarkably gifted and can think in three dimensions, and I am absolutely dumb when it comes to spatial awareness. Just pure.
More of a 2D guy yourself.
I'm more of a 2D person, really. Maybe 1D. Okay. I don't know.
1D.
Yeah. So
give yourself some credit. 1.5.
1.5 Ds. So you picked it up really fast. And I am really looking forward to it. But Panda and Bunny, I'm curious, do you have any like first steps for somebody who, you know, doesn't know anything and is probably bad at this in terms of like, hey, if I were teaching you guitar, I'd say practice for 10 minutes a day, start with scales, then chords, et cetera. Is there anything that I should be practicing so that I can get better?
I feel like maybe the quality of the resource or education is even more important than what you're specifically working on. If you are working on anything, I'm curious what resources you're using. But there's a lot of great like free education out there. The answer, I feel like, would be the single column is where I would start practicing. But there's a million, you know, drills or types of practice that you can learn about. From Shibari Study is probably the most popular. There's another one called CrashRestraint.com. And those websites sort of even just talk you through how to lay rope or run rope along someone else's skin, you know, how to keep good tension, in addition to doing those simple early patterns and harnesses.
And I would say too, Panda is such a wealth of knowledge in this space. I mentioned it at the start of the podcast, but last summer I did another class with him, and it was called Rugrats and Rope. It was all about age play and rope and bringing those two worlds together and creating something that's kind of better than both things by themselves. So at the end of the event, he sent out this amazing Google Drive with these links, and I looked through them all. It was phenomenal, great for my education, and you know, I've definitely looked through a lot of those resources. And then this thing yesterday that ROI referred to, it's called a rope jam, which Panic and Mike can maybe talk more about some initial resources or things to go to as far as events. But it was essentially a 3-hour class at a local BDSM dungeon. Lowell and I went out, you know, we just worked on rope together. They let some chest harnesses, and I was able to practice a new tie on her. And it was a great experience. So I think combining not just these resources online, but also going to things like a rope jam is a really good way to start. Panda, what do you think?
Yeah, almost every good community or decent community around the kink space has some sort of rope share, or there's even on FetLife a lot of virtual classes right from FetLife where you can kind of remote in if you're not in proximity to a community, and you can follow along at home with how to tie some of the basic things. I don't know, it depends on budget, but there's a lot of conventions. There's Tethered Together and many big cons. You know, we know TeddyCon and we know CapCon and KingaCon, all the cons for ABDL. Well, there's lots of cons for rope too. Depending on your budget, you can, you know, get a lot of education really quick if you want to commit that hard, or you can just do a local, small, single night event.
Tethered Together. Cool. That's adorable.
Oh, I didn't even catch that.
I love that. And I thought ABDLs had the corners on awesome puns, but apparently not.
There's so many rope ones.
Right? I do want to turn the corner to and talk about where, Bunny and Panda, have you seen rope applied to ABDL? Where do those two worlds come together for you?
Oh, so many different ways. I guess I'll let Bunny jump into this one first and just see which activities her finger lands on, and then I'll share some of my favorite.
So one of the ones, I don't know that we were like specifically in like a little kind of space, but one of the ones I had most fun with was when he just like tied me. It was a suspension, and I was like spinning around, and it felt like I was in a swing. He has this video, I think it's on his Instagram, of me just like spinning in circles, like giggling. And so that was like so much fun. And it definitely, like, we were in a little kind of environment, but it made me kind of regress a little bit into that little age.
That just sounds like pure joy. Just pure joy.
Yeah, it was so much fun.
That's awesome.
I know we've done some fun things like extra secure blanket burritos where, you know, you have a little in all the cute outfit, get a blanket out and just wrap the little up in a blanket, and then you can secure it with a lot of, you know, wraps of rope. That's super fun way to, you know, get the worlds to collide. Diaper changes is an excellent way to apply rope or bondage. You don't even necessarily need rope. It can be, you know, restraints. Rope is a little bit longer to apply, takes a lot more intention, but sometimes the journey of getting the rope applied is the fun. You know, sometimes a little is going to enjoy, you know, that intention that a caregiver gives them as they put rope on before a diaper change. Lots of discipline, spanking, timeouts, all those things can have some bondage or some rope applied. if you want to prevent a little from, you know, taking off their diaper, you could certainly add rope for that sort of thing. There's really a limitless way of lovely ways to apply rope in diapers.
That was the inspiring part for me with your class last summer, some of the hip harnesses, you know, so it's like, oh, they're in a diaper and oh no, they can't take it off now.
Yeah, that's super hot. And I've even used it since I'm a kind of DL Omo fan, to do like, hey, if you're such a, you know, you're such a big girl or such a big boy, we're just going to tie you up for a little bit and see if you can hold it.
Oh.
And inevitably when that fails, it's back to diapers for you.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that's pretty fun. So yeah. I know we need to wrap, but friends, I feel like we've barely scratched the surface. I am curious if you could encourage folks who are just for the first time thinking about blending rope into their ABDL life, into their either solo play or into their play with partners or with others, what would you encourage folks to do or to pursue? Because they're just now getting excited about it. What's their sort of best? We've got now these great resources, but what's their best next step?
I would say commit is really the name of the game. You know, talk to your partner, communicate first, and either talk to your partner, or if you're playing solo, that's excellent too. And commit and actually set the rope aside, get it out. It's okay to not be great at it. It's okay to tell a partner or a bunny or a person that you're just exploring this with, hey, I'm not very good at this, but I want to learn. Can you communicate with me as I try to do this? And just spend the time learning how it feels to move the wraps, learning how it feels to get some tension around someone. I think the biggest mistake that newbies kind of make is they get too intimidated to commit and really try it out. As long as you take the time to have a shears and have some general basic free information about what's safe and unsafe, the last thing left to do is to commit and to try it out.
Just got
it. And I think too, that's the, you know, from the rigorous perspective, absolutely. That's what I've heard too. Like tie every day, practice makes perfect. Another thing that I've learned too, I for several of the bottoms that I've tied rope with, they keep asking me in the middle of the session, what do I do? Like, yeah, I mean, I think it's easy to say, oh, well, just sit there and look pretty or whatever. But I think there is a concept of, you know, active bottoming or rope bottoming where, you know, they're learning too. They're learning the sensations. They're learning what feels good. And I think that feedback, the conversation back and forth between the rigger and the bottom is invaluable. So would you agree with that, Bunny?
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess part of it is just paying attention to the sensations and kind of like using that. I personally use that as like a mindfulness kind of practice, but also like another fun way to mix it up is to just like throw a little bit of brattiness in there. I like to just, I don't know, maybe like try and escape or make it difficult or whatever. Not too much that they can't learn, but just like, I don't know, I guess it kind of puts more of that like age play dynamic into it. And I've always had a lot of fun with that.
You're going to throw them through a loop.
Yeah. If they can handle that, they can handle anything.
I'm proud of us for keeping our rope puns to a minimum tonight. It could have gotten way out of control. And frankly, at that point, my hands are tied. So I appreciate you guys keeping it.
Yeah.
Keeping it.
I'm afraid not.
Oh, my God. This is the sign we need to end this podcast. Panda.
Dad joke time.
Bunny, exactly. Panda, Bunny, anything else you want to share with us before we sign off today?
No, I will send some resources your way. And if there's any way that the podcast or you want to put them out into the world, you're welcome to do so. If people have interest in buying rope, there's a couple discount links in there. Like I said, go forth and either commit and get out some rope and try it, or try to, you know, make some friends who are interested in tying you.
And if people want to reach out to the master himself, how can they reach you?
Ropes by Panda is an Instagram account that you can reach me at. My FetLife is dash, which is a hyphen, Panda Bear dash. Both of those are great ways.
Good. Well, I know that you have much more important things to do in the coming few weeks, and so grateful that you chose to spend this time with us, but I can't wait to hear great news, and congrats to both of you.
Yeah, congratulations. It's amazing.
Thanks for having us, guys.
Thank you so much.
You bet. Thanks, everybody, for listening. If you or somebody you know could benefit from a transcript to this here podcast, you can always go to transcripts.loveandbrief.com. We have an amazing transcribers group who works really hard to keep up. They usually come out within a week or two of the episodes. Yep. And we just want to make sure that this episode and this podcast is accessible to everybody who wants to hear or read it. The other thing is, if you enjoy it and you know anybody else who you think might benefit from our podcast, please do share. It's awesome if you want to share it in a link, but even sharing on socials is helpful. Leaving a review, super helpful. But we do this because we have benefited so much from the community and we want to give back. So anybody we can help, please share it with them. Teddy, anything else we should cover?
I think you've got it.
All right. This has been another episode of Love in Brief.